This is Hades Ham Journal number 6. Hades Ham Journal takes place in and around a tribe of non-rent-paying warehouse tenants called the Home for Aging Mutants, Ham in its abbreviated sense. We don't know how you got this address, but it's nice to see you anyway. This episode is called A Conference with Cookie Monster. Back when I was building bombs for rock-hard munitions, God, that seems like such a long time ago, I used to call it a snake pit. Only now do I realize how unfair that was. Because now, here I am, in a pit, with real snakes. And it's so much nicer than my old office. The snakes belong to Dan and Ginny from Raxowax, my favorite record store over on Loathing Street. I can't yet break the habit of collecting favorite stores, even though I'll probably never have money to speak of ever again. Dan and Ginny live for two things, records and reptiles. All the rest is just incidental. The pit is kind of a cool thing. One of those mysteries that little kids notice in the city and their parents won't ever tell them what it is, and kids assume that their parents know all right but just don't want to tell them and give them nightmares. You see, out in front of Raxowax is a stairway that starts at the sidewalk and goes down. At the bottom is a door with a big padlock on it. Behind the door, which now has Dan and Jenny's lock on it instead of the old one, is a little room that has pipes running back and forth with all kinds of World War II looking dials and gauges. There are doors on three sides, and a low humming noise that turns to a rumble when subway trains go by, and everything hisses when it rains. And it's been raining a lot. About 10 snakes live down here in warm glass critter condos, eating rats that Dan and Ginny trap in the train tunnels. And they shed their skins, and they stick their tongues out at each other, and generally go about their snaky business. And they're much better company than some of my roommates have been lately. Biff and Athena have been fighting. They stopped long enough to finish the budget Osti Spumanti and $3 a jar supermarket caviar I bought them on that shopping spree I financed by taking a cockroach census for a certain Mr. Weaselface. As soon as the containers were empty and commandeered by Lars for his darkroom stuff, Biff and Athena were right back at it, yelling and screaming at all hours of the day and night, hurling accusations and whatever else wasn't nailed down. I was kind of worried about their 4-year-old daughter Bastille and how it would affect her, but she says, "Oh, they do this every once in a while. I just hang out with the other kids until they get bored." Well, I hope so. From what I hear, they're doing separate performances now on the opposite ends of the boardwalk so they don't have to look at each other. Declan hasn't been writing or drinking, which are the two things he does best. He did take the tiny airline bottle of single malt scotch that I bought him and practically inhaled it, bottle and all, without a word. But then he went right back to watching TV, if you can call it watching when there's no actual picture on the screen. All day he sits in front of the tube, and at night he snores like the blast furnaces on the other side of the river. Only he's worse because there's no pattern to it at all, and the timing, volume, and pitch are an irritating surprise every time. Lars and Mitzi are about the same degree of humiliation they've always been, which is way more than enough. I suppose I could kill one or both of them, but it would make a mess and it wouldn't get me what I wanted anyway. The only solution, I've decided, is to fix my head so I don't have a crush on Lars anymore. It isn't easy, and I'm never sure if I've made any progress or not. The usual thing is, every time you think about somebody that you don't want to think about anymore, you make yourself think about something else you like instead. The trouble is that most of the other stuff I'm in the habit of liking requires money or transportation or something else I don't have either. So there's another attitude that needs fixing. So then, every time I caught myself thinking about the things I'd like to do with Lars, I'd imagine him doing them with Mitzi instead, which is probably pretty close to reality, although they may be a bit too young to be quite as imaginative as I am. Then I end up getting really angry, which is better than being depressed, I guess, because at least it's an active state. For a few days, every time I saw him, I imagined him with lots of pimples and a runny nose. And then he did really start to sniffle and sort of rub his face a lot. Strange. Very strange. With things the way they are, I've spent a lot of time down here in the snake pit. Sort of hermiting out. Huh. Who's that knocking on the door? Doesn't sound like anybody I know. As soon as he came in, I knew this must be C.M. Cartwright, Dan and Jenny's bizarre benefactor. It couldn't possibly have been anyone else. Mr. Cartwright, I said. Call me C.M., he said, wiping the rain off his glasses. Do you want to know what the C.M. stands for? If you tell me Cookie Monster, I can't guarantee I'll believe it. Well, fine, don't make no never mind. So what are you doing down here instead of upstairs being sociable? I wanted to thank you for tracking down my three favorite artistic geniuses. You see, it turned out not too long ago that my roommates, Skip, Scotty, and Damian, used to have a big cult following for their destructive performance art. Then they disappeared. I just knew them as the guys who made all that damn noise with the welding and the drilling and the throwing around those big pieces of metal. But when I walked into Raxowax and saw their poster on the wall, I had the answer to where they disappeared to. I made arrangements to bring them over so CM could meet them. Then I went downstairs, because although I now really respect them for their creative talent, they're still too rude and arrogant to associate with for any measurable time span. Well, I just didn't even think I had anything to add to the conversation. I shrugged. Course you do, he said. You're the brunette bombshell, aren't you? Those guys need your scientific expertise on how to blow things up properly for their new project. Well, they never had any particular use for me before. Well, they do now. Just don't listen to them when they're bastards. They think everybody hates them is their problem. I don't know if I want to blow things up anymore. Sure you do. It's what you were born to do, girl. If Uncle Sam couldn't appreciate that, he's just a blind old fart. I always figured he was. Besides, it'll take your mind off that yellow-haired farm boy you've been all bent around about. Did they tell him my personal business? I was going to kill them. CM saw my face change and figured he'd try a different tack. Come on up. We got some food and some champagne. The real stuff, not that Osti Spumante crap. How long has it been since you had some of that? Actually, it was when we crashed Daryl Filani's party about a month ago. It hadn't been that long. But still, I guessed I was about due, and I hadn't eaten for a couple of days. Well, I said, weakening. Come on. He took me by the shoulders and marched me out the door. It was still raining. Have a cookie, he said, pulling one out of his jacket pocket. Goodbye, snakes, I said. If St. Patrick comes in, just bite his butt. Next time, dust to dust. We'll be there, unless they find out.